Seculo, it's another Logan Seculo reprogrammed takeover of Jay Sekulow Live. And Attorney General Barr has something to say about mail-in voting. He says it's playing with fire.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome to the one and only flag-waving, God-praising, trail-blazing, heck-raising radio show slash YouTube series slash podcast, however you get your media, and either you see it or you hear it. It's the Logan Sekulow reprogrammed takeover of Jay Sekulow Live. So if you're watching or listening on the Jay Sekulow Live feeds, hello, how are you? I'm Logan Sekulow. I'm with me is my buddy Will.
You said me like a pirate. I'm with me, buddy Will.
I was going to say with me.
Oh, and with me. I get it. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, no, I understand. You understand what I'm saying. Will, a lot's been going on in the news.
There has.
This happened last night. Look, there's a lot. I've been commenting. You should be following me, by the way, on social media because I got some hot takes. But Attorney General Barr, AG Barr.
He had a sit down with Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
Yeah. And you know, I always wonder when they do these on CNN, like, what's the end game here, man? Like, are you going to be like, I don't like, because it feels like you're going to, you know, enemy territory. Mm-hmm. And it always feels like it's going to go wrong. But you know what? Actually went pretty well. Wolf got his, he got his face blitzed last night. During this interview, specifically about multiple different topics, but the one we're going to lead with today is about the always lovely, and I'm sure one of your favorite topics, mail-in voting. If you have a comment on mail-in voting, by the way, 1-800-684-3110. I'm instructing our phone screener to, you know, be a little loosey on today. 1-800-684-3110. Will, tell me what happened.
Yeah, we should hear what the Attorney General told Wolf Blitzer, because it was a sit-down in-person interview in studio. Yeah. We haven't seen those for a while. But take a listen to Byte 15 when he's pushing back on some of the questions from Blitzer.
Wolf, this is playing with fire. This is playing with fire. We're a very closely divided country here. And if people have to have confidence in the results of the election and the legitimacy of the government, and people trying to change the rules to this methodology, which, as a matter of logic, is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless and dangerous. And the people are playing with fire.
Yeah, playing with fire. Quote the Rolling Stones, if you play with me, you play with fire.
I like how the Attorney General in this moment, yeah, he's a very calm man in the hearings, yeah, when the opposition to him, yeah, in those hearings, mostly
he
Democrats,
shuts people down, yeah,
he's very calm, yeah, and reassuring. With this, he showed you how important it is, yeah, by getting a little bit of aggression back at Wolf Blitzer, who was being not the kindest with his questioning.
Bar.
He was poking the bar, is the way to say it. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. We'll get more into it in the next segment, but it was a very reassuring to see the Attorney General taking it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And showing it's playing with
and
fire.
Look, this is a discussion we've had. Look, I've come around more. When at first they started saying mail-in voting, I was like, well, I've absentee voted in my life. Like, I was in college, and I didn't live in town, and, you know, I did that multiple times. What's the big deal? But now, one, as the issues with the USPS, which, by the way, no one's talking about anymore. That just disappeared. That was the hot topic for liberal media for like a day. Okay, until somebody else stopped getting your mail. That's probably what happened. I've had a package sitting in North Carolina.
Well, the USPS did delay some of their changes until after the election.
I know, but it's always something. It's always one of these topics. And this one at least has, you know, it came back yesterday because the president said, you know, maybe we need to be double checking your votes in North Carolina. Which I understand what he's saying. You can agree or disagree, but I understand what he's saying. I think the problem is we're all concerned about fraud, and we're also concerned of just not being able to deliver the mail on time, not being able to get it, and it becoming just a disaster of biblical proportions. Well, and I want to know what you think about this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are lighting up because I want to hear from you. And your thoughts on Attorney General Barr, not just that, but his interview in general. We got a lot of other topics to get to as well. It's not just this for an hour. Trust me. You may have heard about what old Governor Cuomo had to say. Maybe we're going to touch on that. Okay. Maybe threatening the president. What it kind of sounded like to me. We got that and so much more coming on the reprogram.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover at Jay Sekulow Live. We like to do this once a week or so. Get your real thoughts. Get your feelings. Got some phone lines lighting up right now. If you want to get your voice heard on the air, 1-800-684-3110. During the break, if you're watching on social media or aclj.org, we played a clip, a much more extended clip from Wolf Blitzer v. AG
Attorney Barr. Yeah.
About the mail-in voting situation. Kind of echoed what we had to say, our thoughts in the last segment. But I think we should hear a little bit more for those who are just listening on radio. We know, you know, there's tens of thousands of you that watch live on social media. There's like 200 or plus thousand people, 300,000 that watch later on social media. But there's a couple million people listening right now on the radio. We're sure they hear this as well. So this is what, Bite One?
Yeah, Bite One is great. It kind of shares some of Attorney General Barr's concerns with mail-in voting from a bipartisan commission. Let's go ahead and play Bite One.
The bipartisan commission chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker said back in 2009 that mail-in voting is fraught with the risk of fraud and coercion.
But since then, and until this administration haven't proved it.
Let me talk.
Yeah, please.
And since that time, there have been in the newspapers, in networks, academic studies saying it is open to fraud and coercion. The only time the narrative changed is after this administration came in. But elections that have been held with mail have found substantial fraud and coercion.
Yes, I mean, that is straight from the mouth of Attorney General Barr about this. You know, we're discussing this, Will, and you brought up that there is, and Attorney General Barr brought it up, a really distinct difference between the mail-in voting situation and the absentee
right.
voting situation. Absentee is by request.
Right.
A lot of these states are asking for just everyone to get the mail.
Yeah.
Everyone to get one in the mail, get a ballot. And if you're not, unlike probably me and probably you, I get stuff from my previous person who lived in my house. I get government files because they've had clearly people who lived there before had some issues. And I get mail just hoping that maybe I know that person and can find, you know, it's not clear cut, you know, and this is where it gets ridiculous. And I think then we got to take it, mail it back in, and the issues. And again, I honestly think the fraud part about this is a small part.
Right.
To me, the main situation is the technical counting, distributing, and then counting and receiving is the concern I have, which seems like a nightmare.
Well, And I think when he says to try and change the rules is playing with fire, and it could come up with lessening people's confidence in the result of the election, is probably the key issue that I have with it, is that all of the issues you're listing, not just the fraud, not just the technical side of it, but even just the confidence in the result, is what is detrimental to the Republic in general. And he even cites examples of someone in Texas that they prosecuted, the Justice Department prosecuted, someone who had collected 1,700 ballots and then filled it in how they wanted it.
Oh, well, then there you go. And there's just straight up fraud.
In some of these elections that are close, then that could be a deal breaker. It could make the difference in some of these states.
Now, we do have a phone call coming in about this. We've got lots of phone calls. We'd love to hear from you, too. 1-800-684-3110. This is from Steve. Steve, you're calling in New Hampshire, I believe, on line one. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you. It's my first time call. I wanted to know, first of all, is this a state issue? And is this mail-in voting issue being challenged in any of the court systems? And could it get to the Supreme Court before the election?
And is it a state issue? Now, the states run
the elections.
The elections are done. So there actually are some states that have mail-in voting. I believe Utah is one of them. Yeah. There's a couple other, maybe Oregon. They have this kind of universal mail-in voting. I think one of the differences, too, is on this rushed timeline.
Yeah, but you're talking
when you're changing the rules in the middle of the election, you start ending up with a situation where they're not prepared to do it. So in the state where we live, because you can get an absentee ballot without an excuse. Like some states require, like, I am at college. So you have to certify that.
I like how you I am at college.
Well, I feel like that's official. If I'm certifying something, I have to be very specific.
Yeah, you have to put a space bar, a space between each individual word, a period.
Right.
I am at college.
And
leave
then you sign
me
off
alone.
On that. But but what you end up having there is that in our state, you don't have to have that excuse. You can just get one for any reason. Now, a lot of people are requesting it.
Sure.
But that's a second.
I'm fine with that.
It's a second check on the system.
You are making sure that you are doing your job as well. This isn't
and
just
they can verify
say,
you're
right.
on the voter rolls. Well, the it's not just sending out to, what was it in Atlanta? A dead cat?
A deceased cat received a ballot.
Received a ballot to vote because it was just sent to names.
Just a name.
It wasn't even that cat hadn't voted before.
No, they
cats
wouldn't.
Can't vote.
They bought the list from Petco, and it got real confusing.
Right.
Well, I mean, you bring up that point, and I think that's when the president took a little heat yesterday over saying you should be essentially checking the votes and saying, I think there's a real concern there, which is if you vote and there's not a confirmed, you have been tabulated, your vote has been received. Then you'll always have that question. You will always have it of whether your vote counted.
Now, the second portion, though, of his question is, will there be lawsuits?
Yeah.
And I think we're already seeing that in some jurisdictions at the state level.
Yeah, it's just whether the timeline, really,
right?
Because it's 60 days from today, guys. 60 days. This is the countdown really begins.
Right.
It's just crazy to think about because in your head, this is not what 60 days out from an election looks like.
No. Especially trying to redo the way you're going to vote.
Right. Redo the way you vote. You think about every election we've ever had. If it's 60 days out, that means the president, the vice president would be out there to thousands of people each and every day. There would be a whole litany of things that would be happening and all the pomp and circumstance and all the fun and all of the drama. And it's just nothing. It doesn't even feel like the election is happening in some places. I'll see a sign every once in a while as I'm driving around. Whether it's a Trump sign or a Biden sign or a third-party libertarian sign. But it's still not the same.
Right.
Maybe when the debates start happening, I know that was announced, right? Chris Wallace is doing the first debate.
He is, yeah. CNN had some issues with that.
I kind of have some issues, too. I'm not the biggest Chris Wallace guy. But, I understand that they had more issues. Fox had more, or CNN had more issues than just Fox got the debate, right?
Right.
They're like, look, they're being rewarded. That was from old... That was from an email. For some reason, you're on their email list.
Well, I get Brian Stelter's Reliable Sources newsletter because it's all... And happy birthday
to our
favorite media analyst.
Me and Brian Stelter are 2 months apart, almost very close. He just turned 35 years old, so congratulations. Happy birthday. to Brian Stelzer. Keep going out there with your holiday tours and your big swing music. I love it every year.
And it's, you're still the wrong, you're thinking the wrong one.
I know. Right. It's the only one.
Yeah.
You know, Stray Cats and Lovin', Blonde Pompadour, you know, Brian Stelzer
Zoot
Orchestra.
Suits, right? Yeah. Is that called a Zoot Suit?
Yeah, he, I don't think he would wear that, Brian Stelzer.
But that was like the swing thing, right?
That was, yeah, that was the thing.
All right.
Swing votes.
Yeah. Are you going to start wearing Zoot Suits on air?
No, I don't wear sleeves.
Oh. Well, I mean, short sleeves.
Short sleeves. I don't wear long sleeves ever. I can wear a short sleeve suit.
I don't know how that'd look. I don't know if that's a thing.
If I had big muscles, it would look good.
Okay.
You know, you ever seen people with like the cutoff tuxedo jacket?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would look like.
Like where they rip the arms off?
Yeah.
It's like, because, you know, you like to party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can go have some fun.
Right.
Yeah, you got to return that to the rental place.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. You're going to get a heck of a cleaning fee.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't Brian Seltzer, what did he say?
Well, he was just saying, well, first of all, he took the day off for his birthday. So it was from Oliver Darcy, who's
by the way, do you guys do that? I don't know anyone who takes off the day for their birthday.
Well, especially like the day before, because this newsletter comes out the night prior.
Your election's 60 days away, man. You couldn't have just waited a little bit of time? Like, this is your prime time.
Well, he's upset. Like the thing.
I don't know. Go ahead. He's upset.
He was upset that Chris Wallace got the...
He got the pick. Got it,
because he says it's a reward for a dishonest network. First of all, let's not throw stones, CNN.
Right, right. Don't throw stones in glass television networks.
Right. There's a screen. It's made of glass. Don't throw stones.
Yeah, plasma.
But he said rewarding them with the first debate feels like a slap in the face to all news organizations with high ethical and journalistic standards that have stood up for truthful and honest reporting despite the venomous attacks in the Trump era.
I don't even know why you get these emails, Will.
Because you got
to read emails.
Someone's got to read them. I'm one of five people that probably gets this newsletter. And
it's like the wrestling figure newsletters that I'm on. It's like, no one else is reading this. I'm the only person. I only get emails from the Build-A-Bear Workshop.
Does that not just sound like sour grapes, though? Like, they were really hoping for a Wolf Blitzer pulling off the big debate moderate.
I'm sure they're getting one, right?
No. It's,
No? CNN doesn't get one at all?
No, and I don't even think CNN or Fox News specifically is getting it.
He's just moderating.
Right,
that's right.
Remember, they broadcast it everywhere.
Yeah, that's right, for the general.
The general election, right. So it's a C-SPAN host.
And a Fox News
then
host.
NBC host, yeah. And then I forget. There's one more that has it for the vice presidential debate. I forget.
Yeah, maybe they give him maybe they can throw him the VP.
I don't think CNN got any.
None.
No.
None. Phone lines are jammed. We're gonna take some of those calls when we get back. This is the Logan Secular reprogram, by the way, taking over for Jay Secular Life for the day. But me and Will, we do this every day, Monday through Friday. You can find us. Best place to watch us is on YouTube. Every day you can see us, talk to us, youtube.com/TheLoganSecularReprogram.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the Logan Seculo Reprogram Takeover at Jay Seculo Live. How you guys doing? We got some phone calls coming in about the whole mail-in voting situation. Then we're going to move on, talk a little Cuomo. Then we got some other topics to hit too, Will.
I think every time we do the takeover, we have a Cuomo story.
That's because I love him.
I know. That's
I love him.
I was setting you up for that.
Clarify. I love to talk about him because he's always getting into mischief. Let's go to Kathy, though, who's calling in. California. Kathy, I'm sorry, I think we went to Mary. It's fine. If we're going to Mary, Kathy, I'll get to you next. Mary in California, welcome.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to share that I've lived in my house for almost 12 years, and I recently got notification that I was going to get a mail-in ballot. But I also received notification for my son-in-law's mother, who used to live here 12 years ago, who now lives in Wisconsin. And so this thing is just fraught with fraud
exactly.
all over the place.
Mary, that's just that's going to be the normal occurrence. That's the crazy part of all this. You got to think about this. It's not just about the occasional someone's going to get an issue. It is going to be like this everywhere because the voting records are a mess.
And Mary,
voting registrations.
You're talking about this issue, bringing it up, and obviously, the person who no longer lives there is probably no longer registered to vote in California. That ballot, according to the state of California, should not be returned for voting. Now, I know Mary will do the right thing, but I feel like the vast quantity of how many ballots of these are going places that they won't be able to even know how many of these, you can't track how many of these are just returned willy-nilly with no care for the law.
Well, look, I'm sure if you've moved states,
right?
Often you register to vote in the state you're living in. Do a lot of people go and deregister
right.
to vote?
Right, it doesn't necessarily, I don't think the state election committees say, oh, hey, like your driver's license,
which is probably
a lot
the
of
issues,
time they'll update.
Yeah,
say,
that's
hey, we've
probably
got
the
here.
Issues with that Mary's having here, which is that they're not updating their records. Even if that person has moved and re-registered someone else,
right.
It doesn't necessarily always remove them from the system. Thank you, Mary, for calling. I hope that I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling and sharing that point of view because I think that's what's going to start happening. And hopefully people are truthful and honest. But, we live in a very broken world. So who knows?
And California is one of the states that is doing this universal.
They're sending it to everybody. Because
right.
They have had one of the worst outbreaks for COVID-19, but it is
so bad that you can't even go
can't
to
get a haircut.
Hair salons.
You can't
right.
even
They're shut down.
Get a haircut there, Will. Unless you got special treatment.
If you no one else can work. No one can get their haircut unless you're the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, we got to come up with fun puns about the Nancy Pelosi haircut.
Well, it's, it is very much like her let them eat cake kind of
it
moment.
It feels that.
Right.
Marie Antoinette. She spoke and was like, I apologize for being duped. I apologize for the setup. She got real mad that people were focusing on this story. But you know what? I think everyone has the absolute right. And you could say, is it the biggest story? That's what the CNN thing you said.
Right, yeah,
they went after that. They went after saying, should it be the biggest story, right, Will?
They were upset in that same newsletter where they were complaining about Chris Wallace being chosen as a moderator for a debate. The lead of the Reliable Sources newsletter last night was the top story in America. And they had this whole narrative, what's the biggest story in America right now? Think about it for a second. Take a moment.
All right,
and really
what would they say?
It. Yeah. Well, they're saying, is it, Dr. Fauci warning the country to be safe over Labor Day weekend? Is it the unrest in Kenosha?
No. I think that one's pretty high up there.
It isn't, according to them. It's on Facebook and in right-wing media, the top story is Nancy Pelosi's trip to the hair salon.
I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. Should it be the number one story? Maybe not.
I disagree.
Should it be a story that we all talk about? Yes. How about this? I know you've probably seen this. You know what story they didn't put in there, Will? How about that 39 children were saved in Georgia from sex trafficking? No one talked about that.
Right.
That thing just breezed off. Didn't even make the news. That just made, guess what, your right-wing social media. That's the only people that were talking about it. Because the hypocrisy of that is exactly the issue. You go, oh, they only want to talk about the haircut. No, guess what? Conservatives bring up real news and real issues, and you decide not to cover it. Don't tell me you didn't get just as many clicks on your Nancy Pelosi haircut story as everyone else did. Okay, all it is, the entire form of media is clickbait right now. So when real articles and real things happen, when the U.S. Marshals, the good guys, go in and save nearly 40 children and arrest like 9 suspects in the state of Georgia for sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, and it becomes a blip on the radar, and the only people you see talking about it are people raising the red flag and saying, can you believe this isn't even a story? And I've seen people on the right and a few people on the left that go, you know what? You got me on that one.
I have another one for you.
Okay.
What about the hurricane, Hurricane Laura, that was during the RNC, every day, this hurricane's coming. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. And taking away from RNC coverage. I actually think that was appropriate to have the balance because it was a major hurricane coming. Makes landfall at Category 4. And then where does it go? Once the RNC is over and they can't distract, they don't even talk about it. But yet, Lake Charles, Louisiana, devastated.
Yeah, my wife is a weather forecaster, and she was, you know, calling for pretty bad devastation, and it did happen. Now, thankfully, not a ton of people died. Still, what, 7 people died?
Right.
In businesses and homes and the whole city instead of Lake Charles, the whole community just flattened.
And
decimated.
We know here where we've seen in this country things like the Nashville economy in Tennessee, where they had tornadoes compounded with the pandemic. So people lost their livelihoods and then had a terrible storm. There have been reports how the city of Nashville was disproportionately affected economically by the pandemic because they had tornadoes.
The tornadoes before, yeah.
That's the same thing that needs to be pointed out about a location like Lake Charles, Louisiana, a decent population center for the state. And you're looking at it and you're saying, wait a second, they also, many of these people were out of work already, but now all their assets are gone. All their livelihood is leveled. Why isn't that one of the top things on the news?
Right. No, it's because it's not part of the narrative. If it's not part of the narrative, it's not going to get covered.
Right.
And you should realize that's why you got shows like ours, the Logan Sekulow Reprogram. That's why you got shows like JSecu Live. That's why you have the work of the ACLJ to expose the truth, the deep state, everything that's happening. That's at ACLJ.org. You should go there, support the work, see what we're up to. We got some great stuff coming in the next day or so. You're going to make sure you want to read this weekend some really cool pieces that are coming. And then next week, we're taking a big swerve, and we got something big to announce for not only you, but for your kids and your grandkids. We talked a lot yesterday about D.C. calling for some of the monuments and the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial to be replaced and all of that craziness. But we're going to make sure there are still outlets for you and your kids and your grandkids to learn about American history and all the good and the bad and what it all means in the world. Make sure we're not erasing anything. That's going to do it for the first half hour of JSecu Live, the Logan Sekulow Reprogram. I know some of you are listening on the air, and this is all you get. But here's what I'm going to say. Check out ACLJ.org. Download the ACLJ app. On there, you can watch us and listen to us live every day, JSecu Live. But the Logan Sekulow Reprogram is really fun. You should check it out. It's a show Will and I do each and every day. We talk about the world of politics. We talk about news and pop culture. And we have a lot of fun doing it. Come get riled up with us. YouTube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram to watch it every day or find it on all your favorite podcast players. That's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however you get your podcasts. You'll find us there. Join the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Facebook group while you're at it. It's private. You got to get an invite. Click a button. Be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Oh,
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome back to the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover at Jay Sekulow Live. How you doing for this Thursday? We appreciate everyone who listens and all of you that are watching online. Welcome. We got some phone calls coming in. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Before we went to break, if this is if you heard the last segment of the show, Will, I briefly talked about yesterday. We went over how the mayor of Washington, D.C. had put out a multiple pages, a 16, 17 page document all about all of the, you know, horrible named schools and monuments and museums and everything, whether it was the Washington Monument, whether it was the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, or, you know, there's all of, a whole list of things.
That's
really
right.
The top tourist attractions in Washington, D.C., how they need to be either replaced, removed, or contextualized. But today, let's just say yesterday, maybe some of you guys, some of our faithful listeners, pushed back on that a little. And Mayor Bowser had to refine some of her statements.
That's right. There was a statement that came out of the mayor's office that said, Mayor Bowser has asked DC Faces Working Group to clarify and refine their recommendations to focus on local DC so no one attempts to confuse the working group's focus on contextualizing, not removing important monuments and memorials in D.C. So essentially, which a lot of their document was on renaming public schools, yeah, D.C. government buildings.
Yeah, it wasn't just the monuments. The monuments, though, were the ones that seemed the most egregious.
Right, and the one that she had the least direct authority to act on.
Yeah.
But it was a red flag. It was definitely like, whoa, wait, what are you going to try to pull off here? So they're walking back that portion a little bit, it does seem, based off of this statement, but also not something that we should just ignore and like, no way, because it's a very political statement
this
here.
This is like a, we need to
clarify and refine.
Clarify, refine, replace, remove, and declassify, whatever it is. You got to push back on these things, and that's what happens. You get some good positive results, but you don't let up on the gas, because very quickly, things could just pass right through the cracks. So we got to be careful. You got to stay alert.
They did remove on Wednesday, so yesterday afternoon, I believe, after our show, they removed the page titled Asset Group 3, Landmarks and Commemorative Works, which was the federal monuments.
Yeah.
So that report has now been removed or condensed to take out Asset Group 3, which was the one that we were most concerned about. So at least they're trying to hide their work or cover up what they did, because they spent a lot of time coming up with those recommendations. You pointed that out yesterday.
Yeah, and someone on our team here, I forget, sent me last night that some of the colleges and universities going back to school are starting to remove a lot of their statues and all these things too. Thomas Jefferson or George Washington, whoever it may be, preemptively.
Right.
Like, they haven't had any complaints, but just in case. And look, part of me understands, because you don't want the negative attention of the liberal media coming after you when all of a sudden there's protest over a statue at your school. If it has no meaning to you, okay, whatever. But it is interesting to see people having to react. Just like I said, what becomes an issue is, now can you take a selfie with the Washington Monument without being labeled a racist?
Right. That's the whole cancel culture.
It's the whole idea.
It's
not just about, did they tear it down? It's, have they removed it from society and part of your lexicon and part of something to be excited about?
Right.
It is something to look at and to worry about for sure. And look, this segment is short. It's only a minute. So unfortunately, I didn't get to those calls. I'm going to get to those calls. If you're waiting on hold, I'm going to get to you. And for those who want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about Governor Cuomo, one of my favorites to cover in New York. Had some words he should probably listen to. See his true thoughts, and not just the president, the fact that he doesn't really care for the president, we know that. But maybe, I mean, I think they're kind of threatening words. Something you really want to be doing as a governor of a state there, Mr. Cuomo? Look, we get back, we're going to go into all that. And here's the deal. If you don't get the Logan Sekulow Reprogram and you don't listen every day, you should. We have a Facebook group. You got to go in there. It's private. Just click that you want to join. Somebody will confirm that you're a real person. And it's a lot of fun. We talk about a lot of these topics here. We put out a new show each and every afternoon at Logan Sekulow Reprogram on YouTube, as well as on all your favorite podcast players. We'll be right back with your calls and your voices on the Reprogram.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To the reprogrammed takeover. It's Logan Seculo of J Secular Life for the day. Let's jump to some calls. I know a lot of you guys have been on hold for a while. Let's go first to Kathy in California. Kathy, thanks for holding so long. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I recently heard a report out of San Diego, a thing called the DiMaio Report,
okay,
where they were saying what the Democrats can do with all this mail-in voting thing is say, not just within a couple of days, but they can actually put off saying that we do not have an actual account of who won until, say, even January. And by then, because they say we've got to get all these votes counted,
they come
to the point where they say we don't have the electoral votes. So by that way, they're able to put someone in office, and they end up putting Nancy Pelosi. How true is this? Because this is my biggest concern. It doesn't matter if even he would win by a landslide. If this is the case, he will not win.
Well, the Nancy Pelosi part aside, her becoming the president by, you know,
well, proxy, and but, also your dad has addressed this on air on this show that he in no way believes that we will get to Inauguration
point.
Day without one of the two candidates, either Donald Trump or Joe Biden, being declared by the Electoral College the president.
However, Kathy, that being said, there are calls throughout the media, and you've seen it already planting the seeds about the fact that on election night, we may not have a clear winner. Obviously, we've been through that before with Bush versus Gore. We've been through it before many a times, but they are talking about the fact that if you're going to have to count all these mail-in ballots and mail-in voting and, you know, double-checking and triple-checking, it is fraught with danger. As Attorney General Barr said, it's playing with fire. So, Kathy, though, I don't believe, and look, I'll eat my words if in 6 months this is what happens, that by Inauguration Day, we don't have a clear-cut winner, then sure, then maybe I'll eat my words at that point. I don't think that's what it's going to be. But do I think that November 3rd in 60 days, we will have a clear-cut winner at the end of the night? I sure hope so. But it would not surprise me if the media even decides to not declare a winner.
Well, we're seeing a lot of this. One, Facebook. They are saying they're going to be monitoring calls on election night for a candidate. So they're already saying they're not necessarily going to allow people to be posting that there's a winner on election night. We also know that there has been several pollsters and things saying that based off the split in the mail-in voting, that It could appear Donald Trump wins in a landslide on election
night.
But
hold on, yeah.
But wait, don't be so quick. And we know that this was all set in motion by the former Secretary of State of the United States.
Your favorite person.
And losing presidential candidate. Hillary Clinton, when she said this.
This is a big organizational challenge, but at least we know more about what they're going to do. And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
So not only planting the seed, just saying straight up, it ain't happening. We're not going to see
under any circumstances.
There could be a 99% of the vote goes to Donald Trump.
Zero circumstances. Sorry. You need to concede.
You, who are you, John Kasich? I mean, give me a break. This is not where we need to be in society, where you're planting all of these seeds of distrust in our entire society. Look, we saw that with vaccine stuff that came out late yesterday.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. And of course, why wouldn't this be the case? So there's some reports out that the CDC is trying to get, by November 1st, some of the areas up and running.
They told states to be prepared to start distributing vaccines, because the CDC has been working with state health boards and departments of public health. So they're basically signaling, hey, be prepared by November 1st that we could start distributing vaccines.
Yeah, but by the way, the COVID-19 vaccine, the one that, I don't know, everyone has been hoping and praying could come out of this.
Right.
They could exist. Now, look, I'm not going to get into whether you're pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine. That's none of my business. But what I will get into is, look, and specifically, my friends who have been extremely paranoid about the COVID-19 situation, the ones who have had real issues, the ones who, most of them, are very, not exactly your most conservative friends and family, but because of the timing, and they don't want to see a vaccine ready to go before election day. Because if there is, that means within a calendar year, we've essentially cured this pandemic that has destroyed so many people's lives, whether that's financially or physically. And there were news reports yesterday, the Washington Post said, like, the headline was something to the effect of, I'll pull up the exact words, but it was, you know, the CDC says November 1st could be ready for distribution. Political issues maybe coming. So people concerned, is this a politicized move? When you start politicizing medicine like this, and things, it becomes so unbelievable. Is the president, I'm sure, would he love to have that vaccine done before election? Of course. Would he like to have that vaccine done tomorrow? Yeah, I think so too. I think this is getting out as fast as possible. And whether you choose to want to take the vaccine or not, look, I think we were talking about some medical professionals. I don't think, like, me as a 35-year-old will be the first person in line. And right. Not because I wouldn't take it. I probably would. Because I'm not the person most vulnerable.
Right.
So you're talking about people, should the 90-year-old person maybe take it? Yeah, I think so.
It's the same reason why grocery stores at the beginning of the pandemic had, for the most vulnerable population,
some still do,
could go early to the grocery store when the supplies were first
because
getting there.
Yeah.
They could shop without the general public so that they
could awake.
Be... Right. Well, that's fair. But they could also start getting these things they need and not be put at more risk by just going to the grocery store at a normal time. It's the same thing. They have to start making decisions about how it starts getting distributed first. Not forever, but which populations could benefit from that protection earlier than others. And I think that is going to be,
it could
you
be,
know
but
what?
Regardless,
the
I don't
media
care.
Is going to politicize
right.
that.
I don't care. If there's a vaccine November 1st, then you know, that's a great victory. And that we should be so pleased. But instead, it's going to be politicized to death, literally. So, hey, phone calls are open. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110.
We are already seeing people say.
Yeah, I had friends.
Right.
Friends who I'm close to. Who specifically said yesterday, if you're watching, how are you, buddy? He said he will not be, this is someone, by the way, I believe he and one other person specifically who spoke bad about this yesterday, people that were signing up for the trials, just in case, just because they're overly paranoid about it, and I understand that, that they were the people who wanted to be the test dummies on the COVID-19 vaccine, now saying, no, I don't trust this president in this administration, so I'm not getting in line for that vaccine. They're buying in to the political bias and nonsense of the media. It's just the truth, and it's exactly what they want. They don't want a success to come out before the election. So again, we have to be vigilant. We have to keep moving forward and do whatever we can to make sure the truth is out there. Will, do you want to go to the phone or do you want to go talk about our buddy, Governor Cuomo?
Let's save that for the final segment. Let's go to the Governor Cuomo.
You did not clarify.
Section. No, well,
we're going to Cuomo?
No, we're going to the phone.
Okay.
I said let's save Governor Cuomo for the final segment.
You just said that, but all right, it's fine.
Well, I meant that, meaning that story. And so let's go to Rod calling from Oregon on line two. Rod, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live and the Reprogram Takeover.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Oregon's been handling mail-in voting for over 20 years very successfully, but they do things differently than most states are doing. The first thing, you have to register. They don't just send out ballots to any name they can find.
Great.
But they do make it easy. You can update your address when you deal with DMV. Second thing is the envelopes plainly say on the outside, do not forward, so they don't end up to somebody that's moved out of state. And I think the best thing is the ballots have to arrive by election night at 8 p.m.
There you go.
There's no waiting until a week or two for the mail-in ballots to dribble in. And they do, if you don't get it in the mail a week ahead of time, they have ballot boxes scattered around where you can drop them off even at 8 p.m.
Yeah, it's not about a postmark situation.
And you know what the key that I heard Rod say? That they've been doing it successfully for 20 years, right? Oregon didn't decide to do this 20 days ago for this election coming up. They built the infrastructure. They have the exceptions, a place you can go drop it off. They have rules. It has to be there by election night. So as if you were voting the day of the election. There's a process to it. It seems very uniform, and it's working for Oregon. And I believe Utah is a more Republican state, a more red state that also does it successfully. And people are trying to say, well, look, this should be bipartisan. If Utah can do it, if Oregon can do it. But I think the key is that they've been doing it. They have the infrastructure. It's not all of a sudden because of a pandemic, they're freaking out trying to figure out how do we put this in place with just 60 days to go.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a lot more phone calls, hopefully. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We got one more segment coming up. We're also going to finally get to that Cuomo thing that I teased in the first segment. But you know what? Sometimes if you like to reprogram, you know this is what happens. Will and I get fired up. The show continues on. And then eventually we'll get to what we teased in the first segment. We'll do that in the next one. Don't worry. I'll get to the Cuomo story coming up in just a minute. Make sure you check out the work of the ACLJ. It's at aclj.org. And check out the Logan Sekulow Reprogram on all your favorite social media platforms and podcast apps.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Logan Sekulow. This is another Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover. Hope you've enjoyed the show today. I've had a lot of fun talking with you, Will. Talking with some of our listeners. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Now, I've been talking about this since the very beginning. Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York, place I lived, place I love. New York City, one of my favorite places in the world. The capital of the world. New York City, has fallen into really rough times, whether that's from COVID-19, which obviously caused mass shutdowns of pretty much every industry that runs out of New York, whether that's the entertainment industry or the business, a lot of stuff is still shuttered in New York. Then obviously they had the riots and the protest that turned violent, and you all saw it all happen live on the news. And they've fallen into really a hard time. The president has put out some pretty bold statements to try to get control of the situation in some of these cities. Well,
right,
in some of these states.
And we talked a few weeks ago really about how a lot of these cities are defunding police. New York City is slashing $1 billion out of the police budget. And so the president this week, he ordered agencies to start looking into ways that maybe funding to some of these cities that he is saying are deteriorating into lawless zones. Is there ways that some of these federal funds can be reallocated to cities that are not falling into anarchy?
Yeah.
So he specifically mentions
lighting the fire somewhat,
New York
so
City,
speak.
D.C., Seattle, Portland are some of the ones listed by the
sure.
president to start looking at, because essentially, why are we going to continue to fund a city that's not even going to fund themselves to protect themselves
right.
and allow chaos to ensue? So that's kind of the context of where so this comment
Governor
comes
Cuomo
from.
Was on. Was he on a phone call or
it was
an interview?
A conference call?
Yeah.
Right. And he made this statement about the president.
Yeah, just about the president in general.
Right.
Visiting, by the way, his home state. I mean, obviously now at this point, a resident of the great state of Florida, but was a resident of New York most of his life. He's known as sort of a New York guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Governor Cuomo had to say about the president.
He can't come back to New York. He can't. He's going to walk down the street in New York. Forget bodyguards. He better have an army. He couldn't step foot in New York City.
I mean, that is disgusting and disturbing and a threat to the president of the United States.
Sounds like something from The Godfather.
It does.
It straight
and
up
also
sounds
the phone line
like
sounds like you're talking to someone in prison. It has like those
right.
It just sounds like you were listening to the internal Tiger King audio.
You're right, right.
Out of prison. But
you have a call from.
yeah. Will you accept the charges?
Mm-hmm.
He should accept the charges, because here's what's happening here. I don't care what you say. And he did, of course, as they all do, had to back off a little bit.
I'm
well,
sure a staffer ran up
and said, I think you just threatened the president with violence.
Right.
Because you said if he walks down the street, he better be prepared.
He better have an
bring
army.
An army.
So he did walk it back a little bit. He said, my comment about the president and bodyguards in New York City, all I'm saying is that he is persona non grata in New York City, and I think he knows that, and he'll never come back to New York, because New Yorkers will never forget how gratuitously mean he has been to New Yorkers.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends in New York, a lot of conservative friends. We're on a lot of big stations in New York. You know why? Because, look, you split apart the votes everywhere. There's always people on all sides of political spectrum everywhere. You go to some of the reddest states. You go to Tennessee. You go to West. You go to these areas. If you go to Tennessee, still 30% or 40% of the people are going to vote for the Democratic candidate.
Right.
So to just alienate not only the city of New York, the state of New York, and your whole people, and say pretty much, number one, anyone who votes for this man who brought, I mean, how much positivity and business success to the state and to the city is absurd. But really, I didn't expect anything less from Governor Cuomo. He puts his foot in his mouth a lot.
He does seem to have instances, especially with the president, where he gets ahead of it and forgets he's governor.
Right.
Like, and he just gets into almost like a schoolyard fight with the president. Like, oh, like he's like a tough
guy. You better bring an army.
Right, right. Like, who says that? Who says you better bring an army?
Governor Cuomo.
Right. I don't know. It was shocking to hear.
Look, if this was flipped, and this was the president telling this specifically, and it legit, I believe, threatening violence against the governor, you don't think that would be the number one story? I mean, it's unbelievable. If he throws in a little insult, it becomes the number one story. But if he's threatening violence on the street, saying you better bring an arm if you want to walk down.
Would Brian Stelter put that in his newsletter?
Yeah, I don't know. He's jump, jive, and wailing. But if you have the president walking down the street, look, if any of us want to visit New York City, one of the best places in the world, you shouldn't have to worry about walking down the street being threatened. If you're worried about that, Governor Cuomo, get your state together.
Maybe get Mayor de Blasio to put that $1 billion back into the police force.
If you're worrying about people walking down the street, regardless of who they are, no freedom of speech in New York City.
No.
Especially not if it's, at all contradictory to what, he has to say. And I don't believe the people of New York feel this way. Do I have plenty of friends in New York that are not thrilled with the president? Of course. But the people of New York are way better than what Governor Cuomo has to say. He's belittling he's not only threatening violence, he's also belittling his own citizens and residents of the great state of New York. So, disgusting display. I usually like to poke fun at the guy because I think he and his brother are sometimes pretty entertaining guys. And I think the Chris Cuomo show, I think it's one of the ones that's tolerable on CNN to watch. I don't agree with him, but at least I feel like I could see through his eyes and go, I think that guy maybe believes in what he has to say. Then it goes to Don Lemon, and then, we got to burn it all down. It's crazy. Fiery, but mostly peaceful.
Fiery, but mostly peaceful.
Yeah, well, you know what? I appreciate all of you listening to the show today, Will. You got something to say?
Well, I had something about Don Lemon. It goes way back to the top of the show with Nancy Pelosi.
Take me back to Don Lemon.
He actually had an interesting take on Nancy Pelosi. This is Bite 9 about how she should have reacted to the salon criticism. Uh-huh. Let's roll it.
So the Speaker of the House is blaming the salon after she didn't wear a mask indoors. Tonight, the salon owner is denying it was a setup. Regardless. This far into the pandemic, the House Speaker should know what is safe and what isn't. We should all know. It's our responsibility. Instead of claiming a setup, it would have been just as easy for the Speaker to say, you know what? I messed up. I should have worn a mask indoors.
You know what? Regardless of how you feel in the mask situation.
Right.
Because I already touched on vaccines, but I'm not touching on masks today. We only got a minute left, for goodness sake. Good for you, Don Lemon. I don't think I'd ever say that before.
Right.
You're an insult to journalism. But other than that, you did a pretty good job there, at least calling out crap when you see it. And that's important. I think that's good. To me, that's the entire point of shows like ours, Logan Secular Reprogram, is to have fun and call out hypocrisy. It's not just about right and left and conservative and Democrat. It's calling out when you see something that is so hypocritical and disgusting and would only exist in the world of politics. You got to speak up and say something because they're not going to on the news. Occasionally, you'll catch a Don Lemon.
That was like the one time only.
Yeah. He must love his mask. That's what it felt like. Like he's like, I don't want a vaccine because I don't want to lose my mask. But good for him for calling out Pelosi. Anyone who calls out Pelosi is a friend of mine. So I appreciate everyone who's listened. Check out the Logan Secular Reprogram if you want this kind of show each and every day right on your device. That's on youtube.com/Logan Secular Reprogram on all your favorite podcast apps. Until next time, it'll pass.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.